I want to welcome the new people, and it's good to see some new people coming back. Like Steve, it's good to see him today. And we'll be here Wednesday night. It's very good. We're going to finish To Wives, and we're going to start some of their. There's some really good sections in To Employers, and then we'll do Family afterward, and then A Vision for You, and then Dr. Bob's Nightmare, and then start over the book on Wednesday. We're in our 10th time through the book on Saturday. We did Fred. It was great. I think it was one of the best meetings I've done. I just felt, I don't know, things came to me really clearly. So tonight will probably be terrible. And that was really good. And then we're going to start on We Agnostics on Saturday, which has changed my life. Tonight we're on, we're only going to cover a paragraph. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. We're on the 10th step, and we're going to be looking at the recovered promises. And today I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about a thought I'm going to write. And if some of you want to be on a group list to get a text or a podcast every day, just let me know. I think I got most of the numbers of people want to be on here, but there are a few I don't have. And so I was thinking about it, and I was going to write something on the promises. And I wrote this. I'm not going to read it because you'll all leave. But I'm going to talk about the 9th step promises are page 83, 84, right? They're read at every meeting, at least in Topeka, except this one. And they're read off of a card. And then we all say, you know, they're great, and they're always going to come true and all that. But I think sometimes it trivializes them because they're such a powerful part of the recovery program. Now, they occur in 83 and 84. And they occur when you're through, when you've worked steps 4 through 9, and you're now making amends. And it says, this phase of your development before you're halfway through. Well, I don't think the amends process really doesn't have a definite end to it. You know, it can go on forever, right? And that's why they say for you're halfway through. But there's a requirement for these promises to occur. And that's that it says to be painstaking about this phase of your development. You've heard that every meeting, right? Well, what do they mean? Well, painstaking means careful or diligent effort. It means done with great care and thoroughness. And it's a continuation of the thought expressed on page 75. You know, when you finish the 4th and 5th step, they ask if you've admitted anything, right? And they say, are your stones firmly in place? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? And they tell me what we're trying to do. I'm building an arch through which I will walk a free man at last. Powerful stuff, right? And now they're telling us on page 84 and 83 that I've completed the arch of freedom, and that this happens when I'm halfway through step 9. So if they've happened to you, ask yourself, have you really done a thorough steps 1 through 9? Have you built your arch to freedom? Now, there's a warning, and I didn't put this on the thought, and I'm going to add it. It can't be my arch. It can't be Michael's arch to freedom. It has to be the AA recovery program's arch and following their directions to build it, because if I build my arch, nothing will happen. Now it says they will always materialize if I work for them. Anybody heard that before? And it says, and I was going to look at each promise in detail. I don't know how to get this thing off. I'm reading off of this. I don't have internet. It says, so I'm going to look at each promise in the next thoughts. But the goal to me, in thinking about this, of working the steps, what's the goal? Is to build an arch to freedom. And when I pass through the arch to the other side, I'm no longer in bondage to self. Don't we pray that every night? God, relieve me from the bondage of self every morning. When I'm through the arch of freedom, I'm on the other side. And why am I not in bondage to self? Because I have access to God's power and direction. And then he can do for me what I can't do for myself. But I can only do that on the other side of the arch. And it says, this is done after working steps 1 through 9 the best I can. And remember, they say being thorough and earnest from the very start, right? So how do I build the arch, if that's what I need to do? Well, we talk about willingness is the foundation of this arch. It's the stuff that the arch stands on. And I become willing by admitting I'm powerless over alcohol and my life cannot be manageable, right? And so I'm completely willing. And so then that's the foundation. Now, what's the cornerstone? The cornerstone is a belief in a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, right? We talk about that all the time. Now, how do you get that cornerstone? Well, they ask you a question on page 47. Are you now willing to believe, or can you believe, that there's a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity? Well, that's not a tough question. And it says, if I answer emphatically yes, they say, upon this cornerstone, I can build a wonderfully effective spiritual structure. And you see, they've been alluding to this in the whole book, and I see it as the arch to freedom. And then I make a decision in step 3 to stop playing God. I work for him, right? He will be my director. This decision, they say, is the keystone to this new and triumph arch. So you see how steps 1, 2, and 3 are so pivotal for forming this arch. And then they tell me after steps 4 and 5 to look and see that those stones, are they firmly in place? And now halfway through step 9, the arch is completed. And I walk through it a free man at last. And they call the other side of the arch the world of the spirit. You see, they say we've entered the world of spirit on page 84, right? And it says this thought brings us to step 10, which says I've entered the world. Well, what's the thought? The thought is the promises are coming true, and I'm through this arch to freedom. And after the promises in A4, they tell me I'm step 10, I'm in this world of the spirit. Now, the world of the spirit is a good place. That's where we're supposed to end up. And we start when we're not in the world of the spirit. I'm separated from the world, right? In my self-centered mind. And the world of the spirit is where I live in conscious contact with God. Is that what we want to do? That's the spiritual awakening. And how do I stay there? I stay there through steps 10, 11, and 12. And therefore, the promises are something that just happens to me. It's a gift. It's grace from God that happens to me when I enter the world of the spirit. It's like you enter that world and these things happen. I don't know about you, but that's the way I think it seems to me. And they'll only be experienced if I stay in the world. So if I'm not in the world of the spirit, the promises aren't true. And if I'm in the world of the spirit, they are true. And so the step 9 step promises are really the promises I receive from God. We get here through God's grace, right? And then if we do the work, these promises come true. And it says we're just amazed, right? And they just appear. And when I've walked through the arch, now, no conscious contact, no world of the spirit, and no promises. So I don't know. I got a lot out of that. I don't know if that made sense, because it brings us now to where we're in the recovered promises. The recovered promises are on page 84. And we spent a whole meeting on the world of the spirit in the 9th step, and I alluded to that promises. And then last week, the week before, we did step 10, the paragraph on page 84, which tells us how I stay in the world of the spirit every day. How do I stay there? And it says, you know, in that paragraph, it says, brings us to step 10. So I'm going to continue to take inventory, continue to set right any new mistakes. We commence this way of living vigorously as we cleaned up the past. You see, as we're in step 9, we're finishing the past. We've entered the world of the spirit. So my next function is in the world of the spirit, there's growing understanding and effective in the world of the spirit. And it's not an overnight matter. It's going to continue for my lifetime. You see how it all ties together? And then I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear with God. I'm in the world of the spirit. When my self-centered character defects start to appear, when they crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. That's pretty simple. And then I discuss them with someone immediately. Remember, watch, ask God, discuss them with someone, make amends quickly, and then turn my thoughts to someone we can help. Powerful paragraph. If you just live in that paragraph, your life's going to get better. And the promises will come true. So love and tolerance of others is my code of living in the world of the spirit. When I'm not in the world of the spirit, I'm in anger, resentment, judgment, impatience, intolerance. We have a whole card. I have all of them every day if I'm there. And we can go in and out of the world of the spirit, but I want to stay on the other side of the arch. And I really believe that if you do the work and you really try each day, you stay on the other side. And when you drift away, you use the step 10 to get back on the beam. So now, somebody called these the recovered promises, but I'll call them the world of the spirit promises. And it says, 1, I have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Well, Dewey was telling me how he used to drink. He used to fight a lot, right, Dewey? And a lot of us fought when we were drinking, but we fought everything sober. We fought everybody's ideas about what we should do. We fought so many things. It'd be a great thing to list all the things that I fought and all the people I fought, but we fought alcohol. And why did I fight? Because I had a script and I knew how the world should be. And if they weren't following my script, then we would, quote, fight. And it wasn't pleasant, was it? So if love and tolerance is your code, then you're not fighting everybody or anything. So if you start to feel agitated or judgmental or impatient, just say, am I being loving and tolerant right now? And if I'm not, well, then stop it. Change my mind. Change the way I see it. That's a great promise. We don't talk about that enough. We're just not disturbed. We're not. I don't know what the word is. Frustrated all the time. We're not irritated all the time. We can't get that way, but we don't live that whole way. And for this time, sanity will have returned. So when you come in here, they tell us we're insane, right? We all agree to that, right? So on page 84, you get your sanity back. So all you have to do to get your sanity back is do everything in the first 84 pages. And you have your sanity back when you're through the arch and you're in the world of the spirit. And the sanity means the ability to think and behave in a normal manner. And the sanity we're talking about is towards alcohol, right? We can see the truth about alcohol when I have contact with God. Without contact with God, I can't see the truth, right? I have no power. So if I don't stay in the other side of the arch, in the world of the spirit, I'll lose the ability to see the truth about alcohol. And it says, I will be seldom interested in liquor. That's a good promise, right? Now here's one, if tempted, I will recoil from it as from a hot flame. Now, they talk about that on page 24, and there's a solution. They're talking about how alcoholics can't bring into their minds the consciousness, sufficient force, the suffering, humiliation of even a week ago, they're without defense against the first drink. Anybody believe that? Yes. Now, if we're on the other side of the arch, that's not true for us now. We can see it. And it says, the consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. It says there's the complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time. So here's how. And so they tie it back to the recoil from a hot flame, if tempted. So if we're tempted in our mind to think about alcohol, we immediately say, bad idea. Now, I don't know about you, but I burned my thumb on a hot pan when I was about 10. And I've never done that again. I haven't tried that experiment again. But I've done insane things with my alcoholism. The same thinking, the same actions. And it says I react sanely and normally, and guess what? It's happened automatically. It's not anything I earned. It's a gift from God. These things are a gift from God. It just happens. Where were you when the obsession to leave? Were you driving the car? Were you at home? Did you wake up in the morning? These things just happen. Lyle described it. There's some point when he stopped looking at the liquor stores. And he stopped thinking of alcohol. And now if alcohol comes to my mind, I say, well, gee, you know, there's not enough. And it's a bad idea. And why would I do that? And so I'm rational, I have my mind, I say, bad idea. I don't think about it too much, but if it happens, I'm on the cruise ship all the time, I've told this a million times, they have all the booze you can drink and all the wine, this and that. And somebody asked me if I wanted a drink, I said, you don't have enough. Now, if you're an alcoholic, if you ever think of drinking, you don't think of getting like a little shot, right? Well, immediately the thought comes to, oh, you know. And so we don't want to do that anymore. But here's another promise. I have a new attitude towards liquor. And guess what? It's been given to me, you see? And the new attitude towards liquor is I can see the truth about it. Now, the new attitudes that I also have in the recovered promises, I could see my judgment. I have a new attitude to my judgment, my impatience, my intolerance, fear. I see these things differently. I don't see them as things that I I need to have. I don't have to have those character defects. I can think differently now. It says it's a miracle. Now, a miracle is something that you can't explain. It's something that happens that you can't explain. And I don't think you can explain how we're all sitting in this room sober, celebrating months and days and years of sobriety. It says we're not fighting it, nor we are avoiding temptation. Now, the reason we're not doing that is because we don't have the alcoholic mind. Remember, we talked about the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Remember Roland Hazard? The doctor said, there's no hope for you. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And the mind of a chronic alcoholic can't keep from drinking. And remember, they talk about working with others, that you could go to the Greenland ice cap and we'd find booze, right? And you can't worry about keeping us from temptation. And if you have an alcoholic mind, you have no defense against the next drink. So you don't have to worry about being tempted. You don't have to avoid it anymore because it's not part of your consciousness anymore. And we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Now, I put my resentments in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Anybody do that? I protected my anger and my fear, and I kept us, gave it safe harbor. And now they're saying, I don't have that anymore. I've been placed in a position of neutrality. Things don't have power over me. Now, if I'm neutral towards alcohol, it has no power over me anymore. And I don't have to, my resentments don't have to have power over me, and my fear don't have to have power over me anymore. And it says we're not even sworn off. Now, swearing off didn't work anyway, right? Did swearing off never worked? And so we don't even have to swear off. It's just happened. Instead, the problem has been removed. Now, the problem has been removed is from page 44 and page 25. On 25, and there's a solution. It tells me that if I had come to believe in the hopelessness and the futility of life as we'd been living it, and I heard that today from our 30-day celebration, then when I'm approached with those whom the problem has been solved, nothing left is to pick up a simple kit of spiritual tools. I really don't have a choice, right? And then when I do that, I've been rocketed into the heaven and the fourth dimension. Says when I'm approached to those in whom the problem has been solved. And so the people here who've worked the steps and are through the arch have solved the problem. So if I want to do what they did and build the same arch they built, then the problems will be removed. Now on page 45, they tell us that if a more code of morals at the bottom were a better philosophy of life was sufficient to overcome alcoholism, any of you try that, we would have recovered. The problem is it was my philosophy of life. And my philosophy of life never worked. We found that such codes and philosophies did not save me, no matter how much we tried. I could wish to be moral. I could wish to be philosophically comforted. I don't know what that means, actually. But my human resources, marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly, right? I couldn't manage my life. I couldn't keep from drinking. So it says what? Lack of power, that was our dilemma. I had to find a power by which I could live, and it had to be greater than myself. And if I'm through the arch, I'm through the arch into the world of the spirit, I have a power now. I have a relationship with that power. And how we find, where we find the powers in we agnostics is deep down inside of me, and how we find the powers working the steps. And so it says that's what this book is about. It's enabled me to find a power that will solve my problems, all of my problems. All my problems are spiritual. And by living in the world of the spirit, all my problems will be solved. Doesn't mean I'll get what I want, but I'll be able to see them for what they are and use the serenity prayer with God to say, what do I need to change? What do I need to accept? What's my role here? And you have somebody who you have power to rely on to go through anything. Remember it says on page 68, it says we can learn to handle calamity with serenity if we stay close to God, right? And so if I'm in the world of the spirit, I have conscious contact with God and I can handle anything. I still like the thing Sandy Beach says, we don't have any more problems when we come to AA. We only have situations. And I decide if it's a problem or not, or I decide if it's a situation. If it's a situation, I ask God, how do I react to it? And that ties into the next paragraph, which we're going to cover next week, which tells me how I react. Now it says, the problem has been removed, it does not exist. Now it doesn't exist when I'm in the world of the spirit. Well, when I'm on the other side of the arch, I got a lot of problems. So when you're getting irritable, restless, and discontented, things aren't going well, you're fighting everybody and everything, you need to either rework the steps or work step 10 well and discuss it and follow the instructions, because step 10 is 4 through 9 all day long. And so if you're having any problems in life, you need to work the steps. You don't need to change the problem. If you work the steps, the problem will solve itself. You'll see the right solution. We used to try to solve everything. Anybody else do that? Mm-hmm. Just made it worse. It says we are neither cocky nor afraid. It says your problem has been removed. It doesn't exist anymore. These problems don't have to exist except in my own mind. I ask people all the time, they tell me they got a problem. I said, well, who told you that? You know, we tell ourselves. We create all the problems in our head. God didn't tell me I had a problem. God didn't say, Michael, you got a problem today. You better fix this. That's never happened. It says we're neither cocky nor we afraid. That is our experience. This, you can't argue with their experience. Now, there are people in the room, we're going to open it up, that could tell you their experience, working the steps, working step 10 and 11 and 12, how their lives have changed, how they've had a spiritual change in the way they are. Now, I used to say the hooker, I don't say it anymore. It says, here's the warning. The warning is that if I want to react this way, I have to stay in fit spiritual condition. Now, what is fit spiritual condition? Fit spiritual condition is having work steps 1 through 9 and living in 10, 11, and 12 every day. Every day, no let up. And then you'll react a certain way. Now, if I'm not reacting in fit spiritual condition, then I'm not in contact with God. Now, in step 10, I can react in non-fit spiritual condition. And then I can stop. I have the power now to stop because I'm watching with God and say, Michael, you're out there. You're away from me. Get back here. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop whatever you're doing and come back to me. I mean, God tells us that. He doesn't use those words. I'm irritated. I'm upset. I don't feel good. And then I say, I got to get back to the big guy. That's the only time I'm going to have peace. And then I just follow the instructions in that paragraph. It always works. But if I don't do it, it never works. So we want to stay in fit spiritual condition. And so that's the key. Build the arch, stay in the world of the spirit, and you stay in it by trying to stay in fit spiritual condition. And we start every morning. Now, the thing is, my spiritual condition yesterday won't help me today. I've got to do it today. And so now, and we're just going to look at this briefly, and then I want to open it up. It says it's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action. It's very easy, isn't it? I have 5 years sobriety. I don't need to go to the meeting on Sunday night. I'm going to watch Sunday night football. I don't need to pray every morning. I prayed yesterday. You know, I don't need to do that. I'll tell myself what I need to do. And my laurels, resting in what I did, won't help me. Why? Because alcohol is continuing to be there. It's continuing, and if I stay out of the fit spiritual condition, alcohol will have power over me. And so they tell us we can't let up on this. Now, some people call step 10 maintenance. They got that because they say in here, we get a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, but it's not a maintenance step. It takes a lot of work to stay through that arch. You can't just say, I'm going to stay through the arch today. You've got to do the work. You've got to pray and meditate in the morning. You've got to consciously look all day long from when you're getting on the left-hand side of the card. You've got to consciously ask yourself, how do I get close to God? What's my role here? What do I need to do here, God? If you stop doing that, it goes away very quickly. I wrote the last thought on how if you work out every day, if you're a marathon runner, then you can run really, really hard, right? If you take a week off, you can't do the same that you did before. You take 2 weeks off, you can't do anything. The further we get away from doing this rigorous program, the further we get away from God. And then how far can I get away? And I said, we're like a paper clip and a magnet. Magnet's really strong. We don't have to turn. All we have to do is turn that paper clip and get a little bit close to God, and we're there. But if we stop and turn the other way, he won't pull us back. And says, we're headed for trouble. Alcohol is a subtle foe. Now, I didn't know that foe is a mortal enemy. And subtle means it's there. We don't even realize it. And how can alcohol be a subtle foe? It's in a bottle. It's a liquid. Because it's my mind thinks of what it's going to do for me. And when it starts to think of what it's going to do for me, if I'm not spiritually fit, I won't see what it's going to do to me. And so there's a fine balance between what alcohol can do for me and what it can do to me. And if I'm not spiritually fit, the to me gets down here. And you don't want to get too far this way, because we don't know when how unfit you need to be, each of us, to drink again. And so I don't think it matters how many years. And instead it says we're not cured of alcoholism. We're not cured, but we can be put in remission. Remission is where you don't see any signs of the disease. You may have a cell in your body, but it's not active. We can't detect it. And so we can put it in remission, but if we stop doing the deal, it starts to grow. And if you're diabetic and you take insulin, your sugars are good. And if you don't do it, your sugars get bad very quickly. And so I'm going to stop there. We're going to go through the rest of this and then end with step 10 next week. So I hope that was helpful. I got a lot about that, the arch to freedom and how you go through it, staying in the world of the spirit. And that's, you know, we talk about spiritual awakening, but to me, this makes more sense to me. So we'll open it up. Congratulations to the birthdays. It's good to see the new people. And if anybody wants to be added to the list to get a daily thought or podcast, just let me know after the meeting. Thank you.